It is God's desire that as surely as the dawn breaks forth daily, so will the revelation of His goodness be evident daily in every area of your life. Welcome to Dawn Extras with Tim Grage.
All right. Matthew 24, verse 1 to 14. It says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they will not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise." Don't we do that today? "And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how come you came in here without a wedding garment? And the man was speechless." Take note, the man was speechless. That's the problem. "Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." When we talk about the blessing, we're actually referring to Galatians 3 verse 14. The Bible says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the blessing of Abraham, what is the blessing of Abraham? Before I even go into that, just say it after me. The blessing of Abraham is upon me. Go on. Okay, well, say it, but feel free to type it. Come on, type it. At least it makes me know that you are awake and you're with me. The blessing of Abraham is upon me. Let me quickly go through the list. What's the importance? What's the importance of the blessing? What does the blessing do? What can it do? What's the importance? All right. Give you a few scriptures. Genesis 27:41, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau saw in his heart, The days of the mourning of my father at hand, said in his heart, The days of the mourning of my father at hand, then will I slay my brother." The blessing was released upon Jacob as against Esau, and Esau wanted to kill Jacob. Why? Because Esau understood what the blessing could do. I need you to understand today, when we talk about the blessing, and as we teach you or rehash how you invoke the blessing, I hope you understand that back then they appreciated the potential in the blessing, so much so that when the blessing was released on Jacob as against Esau, Esau wanted to kill Jacob, because Esau understood that what has just happened will not just bring goodness to the life of Jacob, but he knew that it was going to cause generations upon generations of Jacob's lineage to also be blessed. And that's one of the potentials of the blessing. That's one of the benefits of the blessing. It's transgenerational. When the blessing is invoked from a place of understanding, it moves. It doesn't just restore your life or bring goodness to your life. It goes into generations to come. When you invoke the blessing, you invocate the blessing, you release it to your generations. Let's look at some of the benefits. One, it causes you to prosper irrespective of circumstances. That's what the blessing does. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22, the Bible says that Abraham and Isaac were in seasons of famine, but they prospered. Why? Because of the blessing. Number two, the blessing reverses every curse. It doesn't matter whether it's generational curse, curse being that has been instituted by altars, it doesn't matter. An understanding and an invocation of the blessing reverses every curse. Numbers 23 verse 8 says, "How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom God hath not blessed?" I mean, God hath not defied. Basically, the blessing was upon them, so the curse could not rest upon them. Numbers 23 verse 20, still on that, says, "Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and God has blessed. I cannot reverse it. When the blessing is upon a life, it cannot, look, the curse is reversed and no one can reverse the blessing. Another advantage of the blessing, it defends the one that is blessed. The blessing defends the one that is blessed. Have you shared this on your stream? Do you want to quickly go out and do that? Share it on your Facebook, Instagram, YouTube so that someone can join us. Come on, share it on your WhatsApp. The blessing defends the one that is blessed. Genesis chapter 20, verse 3. It said, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. You know what occurred here? The blessing was upon Abraham. I mean, God uses Abraham as the progenitor of the blessing. And Abraham had, well, it wasn't a lie, but it wasn't a complete truth. Sarah was his half-sister, to be fair. And so, but out of fear for his life, he puts her own life at risk and gives her up to Abimelech, saying that she was purely his wife. I mean, purely his sister. Abimelech took her, expecting to have her as his wife. And even though it was Abraham that put Sarah in the... I wonder what the conversation was like when Sarah came back. It couldn't have been nice. But even though it was Abraham that put Sarah in that difficult scenario, watch this, and even though Abimelech was really not at fault, because if Abraham had said that was his wife, Abimelech likely would not have taken her, the blessing began to defend Abraham. And that's the thing about the blessing. The blessing is structured to protect. Once the blessing is invoked, it is wired in its capabilities to protect. There is another term for the blessing, but I will only say it at the end of this. Say this, stay with me, and I'll give you another term for the blessing. When the blessing is invoked, it protects the one that has been blessed. All right? Genesis 19:22. Haste thee, escape thee now, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. King James can twist your tongue. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. This was Lot. The blessing, as a result of Abraham and Lot's connection to Abraham, the blessing was on Lot. So when the angels who had received command to curse and destroy Sodom came, they met a man that carried the blessing. And so even though they were mandated to destroy the city, when they met a carrier of the blessing, the only way to still destroy the city was to take the blessed out of the city. For as long as Lot was in the city, a carrier of the blessing, the city could not be destroyed. Oh, hear what I'm saying? The city could not be destroyed. The one that is blessed is preserved. The blessing preserves the blessed. Let's go on. Another advantage of the blessing, it circumvents the law of nature. The blessing circumvents the laws of nature. Genesis 12:14, I've already mentioned that. It says, and it came to pass that when Abraham was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. At this point, Sarah was already what? In her 70s, 60s or 70s? The Bible says that they looked at her. They had all sorts of women in their harems, but they looked at Sarah and they said she was very fair. We later discover that they desired to take her as wife. Abimelech desired to take her as wife. The consequence of the blessing was that it even reversed the laws of nature. Her aging had ultimately been reversed. It was so reversed, after continuous invocation of the blessing, it was so reversed that at 90, she gave birth to a son. The blessing reverses the laws of nature. See, wherever the fruits of the curse is in existence, whether it's as a result of sickness, as a result of aging, as a result of a compromised nation, a compromised economy, wherever there are signs of the curse, when the blessing is instituted, it reverses the curse. Where there are signs of nature, natural decay, the blessing has the potential of even reversing the laws of nature. So Genesis 26:12. Isaac sowed in that land. There was a famine. Isaac sowed in the land. and received in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. There was famine in the land, but the laws of nature were circumvented because Isaac operated in the blessing. And Isaac understood the power of the blessing. That's why even though there was famine, he still cultivated his land. Now, oral history actually tells us that Isaac was likely the first person that instituted the phenomenon of irrigation. That because of the blessing in his life, there was wisdom that hit him, and he was able to draw water from the wells that he dug, because he dug wells. He kept on finding water. He would dig a well and he will find water. He was just so blessed. There was famine, but where he would dig, he will find water. But finding water doesn't mean that you will have a bumper harvest. Remember, the work it will take to draw water and water acres upon acres of land daily is ridiculous. It's manpower that would require an entire city to effect. But what had happened was, because of the blessing on his life, wisdom hit him, and he was able to find a strategy to actually draw the water using, yes, primitive, but nonetheless available technology, draw the water from the wells to water his field. The blessing also releases great wisdom. Say it after me. The blessing is upon me. Come on. Somebody say it on YouTube, on Facebook, say it. The blessing is upon me. The blessing. Somebody's life is about to hit something big. The blessing is upon me. Another thing about the blessing, it releases the Midas touch. The blessing releases the Midas touch. Genesis 39 verse 5. I've already mentioned it with respect to Isaac. Because of the blessing that was upon him, even in the land of famine, when Isaac dug the earth, he will find water. Not once, not twice. Not once, not twice. So it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't that it was coincidence. Not once, not twice. Isaac will dig and he will hit on water because the blessing was upon him. Genesis 39 verse 12. The blessing also releases the Midas touch. It says, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. This is Joseph and Potiphar. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. The blessing does not discriminate. Because Potiphar made Joseph a carrier of the blessing. Because Potiphar made Joseph the carrier of the blessing, overseer of his house, his household. The Bible says everything that Potiphar had began to prosper. Every single thing. You must understand that you are the carrier of the blessing. Everywhere you enter, that organization, no matter how big, no matter how small, begins to prosper because of you. As you enter there, understand that because of your presence, they are defended, protected, and they will prosper. This is why you need to ensure that you have visibility, because God expects that you will be rewarded like it was with Joseph. Listen, this is a bit of a segue, but God expects that you'll be rewarded like Joseph was rewarded by Potiphar when Potiphar realized that I am blessed because of this young man. He promoted Potiphar, who was a slave, to become head of his household. Meaning Potiphar, the Bible says he was so much head of the household that Potiphar did not even know what he would eat except what Joseph said was available. If Joseph was giving directive to the owner of the house, you can imagine that he was directing everybody else, every other Egyptian that was under the auspices of Potiphar. Meaning Joseph, a slave, now had authority over free men. You need to appreciate how ridiculous that was. How ridiculous that was. When the blessing is active, right? When the blessing is functional, when you understand what the blessing is, and I'm about to explain it to you, when you understand what or who the blessing is, and you regularly fill your mind with that consciousness, it's It's tied to what I shared on yesterday on Dawn. If you missed it, go watch it. When the blessing is active on a man's life, the rules of engagement change. They change in whatever way they need to change to favor the blessed. If a law has to be repealed, if a law has to be instituted, if interim laws have to be put in place, if strange things, including the laws of nature being circumvented, have to be invoked so that the blessed remains blessed, it will be done. It will be done. The blessing is such that it just cannot be denied. It just cannot be. What is the blessing? Let me give you a litany of scriptures. And from this litany of scriptures, you will see the connection between what I'm about to, the scriptures I'm about to give you, and what I shared with you yesterday. Watch this. Galatians 3, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So it's talking about the blessing of Abraham. Verse 16 of that same Galatians 3, you need to check this. Verse 16 of that same, so it says the blessing of the, 14, that the blessing of the Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Verse 16 now says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He did not say unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So he says in verse 16, that the seed of Abraham is Christ. The seed of Abraham, he says there's the blessing of Abraham. Then he now explains, in expanding on the blessing, it says that the blessing is on the seed of Abraham. The blessing is on the seed of Abraham. As a matter of fact, the blessing is the seed of Abraham. Watch this. And the seed of Abraham is Christ. Verse 29 of Galatians 3 now says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and you are heirs according to the promise. It says in verse 16, the seed of Abraham is Christ. Verse 29 says, you are the seed of Abraham. From God's perspective, you are Christ. This is why the Bible says, as it is, so are you in this world. Can you imagine the Christ if he came in all his glory as he is today? Not even the virgin that he was when he walked the earth was already phenomenal. That was a phenomenal being. But the virgin that he is now is greater than the virgin that he was when he walked the earth. You see, the virgin that he was when he walked the earth, he could be killed, he could die. The virgin that he is now, he cannot age, he cannot die, he can never lack, he doesn't need sleep, he can never be weak, he can never mourn. See, the version that the Christ is now, the resurrected or the risen Christ, this version is God Almighty, unhinged and unrestricted. God Almighty in a human body, but not a human body like ours, in a human body that is purely powered by divine life, purely powered by the blessing. And I will explain even further the blessing. So the blessing for the believer is Christ. The seed of Abraham is the blessing of the believer, Christ. So, like I taught you yesterday, Romans 13, 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Galatians 3, 27 echoes the same sentiment. It says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Philemon 1:6 says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. What is the blessing? The blessing is the acknowledgement that you have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the blessing? The blessing is the acknowledgement. And this is the other word for the blessing. The blessing is the acknowledgement of the fact that you are perpetually righteous. Righteousness means everything that sin brought to the earth, every compromise, every brokenness, alienation from God, physical sickness, physical weakness, physical death, a compromise of the earth, such that man needed to toil to prosper, a weakness in his thinking, so that man could no longer think like God, a distancing from God, an inability to crisscross between the spirit realm and the natural realm. All these things were the consequences of this, of sin. Now that sin has been done away with, and now that it has been replaced with righteousness, every consequence of sin has now been replaced with the consequence of righteousness, or the consequence of the blessing. Remember, the consequence of sin was the curse. The wages of sin is death. The consequence of righteousness is the blessing. The blessing of righteousness is life. Life in every area. So when we talk about the blessing, we are talking about the reversal of everything the curse brought. We're talking about the invocation of your divine identity. We're talking about the fact that the blessing is upon you. So now, because the blessing is synonymous with righteousness, watch this, then what I've always been saying in recent times about Aaron, remember the garment of Aaron? And now I explain that as long as the garment of Aaron was upon him as high priest, Aaron was defended from curses. Aaron was defended from judgments. Aaron was defended from death. Even when Aaron helped them build the golden calf, they were destroyed, Aaron remained standing. When Aaron and Miriam cursed Moses, Miriam, leprosy, Aaron remained standing. Whilst others were dying, people were dying, and they had to die because the angel has said, because they refused to obey God to go into battle, that their entire generation, except Joshua and Caleb, will die out. That included Aaron. But Aaron kept on living. Because as long as Aaron was the high priest, meaning whether he was consciously wearing the garment or not, because of his office of the high priest, that garment was permanently upon him. The same thing with you. So it didn't matter. Aaron wasn't walking around the streets every day of the desert wearing the garment. So it wasn't a case that he was always physically wearing it, and that's why he was protected. It was the fact that as long as he was in that office, whether he was wearing the garment or not, that garment defended him. The purpose of that garment defended him. Same thing with you. We don't need a physical garment. You don't need to go and buy a prayer shawl. I hear that a lot. People are saying, buy a prayer shawl. You go to places, people are wearing prayer shawl. People are saying, send us money, give you a prayer shawl. And you use the prayer shawl in prayer. That's nonsense. You don't need any of that. What is needed, like Aaron, is an accepting of the fact that I have been baptized into the high priest. What defended Aaron was that he was the high priest. He was the high priest. So for Aaron to die, look at Numbers 20:28. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar. So it wasn't, if Moses just took the garment off Aaron, Aaron would not have died. Oh, look at that scripture. I need you to hear this. This is revelation I'm giving you now. Numbers 20:28. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. If Moses just took the garment off Aaron, Aaron would still not have died. Why? Aaron was still the high priest. Whether he was wearing the garment or not, Aaron was high priest. What had defended his life, because the blessing reverses the laws of nature. Aaron was older than Abraham. Abraham and than Moses. Moses was over 120 years when he died. At this point, Aaron was already over 100 years. But Aaron climbed up a mountain. Aaron and Moses climbed up the mountain at over 100 years of age without pulley systems and people carrying them. They climbed a mountain because the consciousness that he was the high priest reversed even the laws of aging, reversed the laws of nature in his life. So Moses could not just remove the garment. Moses now had to place the garment on Eleazar and declare to Eleazar that Eleazar was now the high priest. The minute he said Eleazar was now the high priest, Aaron ceased to be the high priest, and so the blessing was no longer upon him. It moved to Eleazar. Now, Aaron was undefended. The same thing with us. When you are conscious that the blessing is upon you, why? Because you are born again. You have the nature of God. You are the righteousness of God. Christ has become your righteousness. And for you to be unrighteous, Christ needs to be unrighteous. For you to not be blessed, Christ needs to not be blessed. When we say the blessing, when you say, when I declare over you now that the blessing is upon you, understand what I'm saying? All that is available to the Christ works for you. Works for you. I gave you a very minimal listing of some of the things that the blessing can do. Minimal listing. There is so much more. And the Spirit of the Lord said, close out this week by declaring the blessing over my children. It means for the rest of today, the rest of the weekend, you will keep declaring the blessing is upon me. With this understanding of what you mean, I gave you a list. You might want to watch this again and take the notes down of all the things the blessing does. Because every time you say it over your life, over your business, over your children, what you are saying is that all those things I've listed and more are activated in your space. Stretch forth your hands towards me. Who I declare the blessing of the Lord is upon you. The blessing of the Lord is upon you. The blessing of the Lord. In every area where there has been controversy, manifestations of death and sin, the blessing of the Lord is upon you. I open your mind to embrace the perpetual working of the blessing of the Lord till it becomes an unconscious appreciation of its presence and its indomitable perpetual working. The blessing of the Lord is upon you. I declare it so in Jesus' name. I declare that the famine seasons end, for the blessing of the Lord is upon you. I declare that the conflict in your body manifesting as sickness ends, for the blessing is upon you. I declare that the lack of favor ceases, for the blessing is upon you. I declare that laws are either repealed or instituted to favor you, for the blessing is upon you. I declare that divine intelligences manifest in your life, for the blessing is upon you. I declare you lifted, every stronghold of depression broken, for the blessing is upon you. The blessing is upon you. Father, I thank you, for I have done as instructed, and they have received their lives display, they testify the blessing. Oh, you exceed your target. The blessing is upon you. Father, I thank you, for it is so in Jesus' name.